Our very high divorce rate seems to indicate that few of us have discovered the secret to a successful relationship. But according to a new study, the answer could be simpler than any of us have thought. We asked a few experts in the field to share their secrets.
And now, it's time for Marriage Beyond the Vows on Praise.
Good morning, and hope you're having an amazing and romantic Valentine's Day weekend. Here we are. You just tuned in to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I'm your host, Marcos Mercado, here on Praise, your inspiration station. And as always, we'd love to begin with going to our Father in prayer. Let's pray. God in heaven, thank you so much for your love, your mercy. Thank you for love and romance, God. Thank you for relationships and for the opportunity right now on this show to be able to inspire and encourage those to have a closer relationship with you and with one another, God. We pray in a great way, Father, that you will be with us and you would help us to be guided by your word, Father, that many relationships will be healed. We know that the enemy, Father, is always trying to pervert love, God, and trying to really discourage us from seeing the things that you want us to see. Father, we love you. We thank you. Again, we ask that you just be with us in a special way this morning as we talk about love, as we open up your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, good morning, everyone. As you know, this is Valentine's Day weekend. Actually, today is Valentine's Day. Now, you might say, well, what is that? Well, Valentine's Day obviously is the day that the world has chosen to celebrate love. And we celebrate love all the time, but, you know, Valentine's Day is, what can I say about it? Well, I'll say a few things, and then we'll go to our theme scripture. First thing I'll say is recently there's been a survey done, and the average couple spends about $130 for Valentine's. So the average couple. Now, what does that mean? That means that over $17.3 billion are spent in America this weekend alone celebrating love. So you think it's a holiday, but really it's just a way to capitalize and get more money in the name of love. Now, for us that are Christians, we definitely want to go to our theme scripture because the Bible is very clear about what love is. It's definitely more than a box of chocolates, right? And the cute little teddy bear. What is love? And in 1 Corinthians 13, might be stating the obvious for many of us here, but in verse 4 of 1 Corinthians 13, it says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fail. So we'll be talking about true love today. That's our topic of the day. True love. What's true love from God's perspective? And right now, we just want to introduce two very special guests, husband and wife, Dijon and Paula Anderson. Dijon and Paula, welcome. It's Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Thank you so much. Good to be on.
Great. Absolutely. Now, I asked you both to call in. If you could just introduce yourselves a little bit, I want to introduce you, but I think you can do that even better. How long you've been married, what you do. Paula, I know we've done some work together, so please, you know, just let everyone know who you are.
All right. Good morning, everyone. My name is Paula Anderson, and my husband is Dijon Anderson, and we've been married for 17 years.
Mm-hmm. Congratulations.
Thank you. We have two children, 15 and 11, and in terms of what we do, I am a clinical counselor and been practicing for about 15 years in that area. And my husband is an educator in Washington, D.C.
Okay. Well, welcome. It's great to have you. And again, I think we're going to have a very great and amazing program as we talk about true love. I just mentioned to our listening audience that, you know, on average, this time of year is estimated that Americans spend about $17.3 billion celebrating love.
Wow.
It's a lot of money. Now, I wish I can say from where we sit that makes a big difference and people are in love and because of Valentine's Day, you know, marriages get healed. But the reality is it doesn't seem to really make a huge impact, does it?
No.
Not that much.
So what are we talking about when we say true love?
I would probably say it is the connection of heart. It's the connection of friendship. There's a commitment that's there that, you know, that it surpasses all of the, for lack of a better phrase, it surpasses all of the fluff of, you know, the first sight of that woman or the first sight of that man. It's the commitment to each other, and then for Christians, it's the commitment to God moving in together.
Absolutely. What about for you, Paula?
I would definitely have to agree, because while I do like chocolate and flowers, I do feel those things get eaten and they die. And, after it's said and done, you're going to still love each other, but you're going to have rough patches. And it's the commitment to the relationship. And like my husband said, to God, that's going to move you past those times when it doesn't feel so good, when it's not all roses and everything is great. Like, you're going to have to, respect each other's differences and the commitment to the relationship.
Okay. Well, you know what I want to do? I want to invite our listening audience to go ahead and give us a call. Our number is 855-454-5905. 855-454-5905. And our special guest right now, we're discussing true love with Paula and Dijon Anderson. And I think you guys put it so well. I just want to say amen. I mean, I totally believe that, right? That connection, that commitment, you know, that surpasses the fluff. Dijon, I love how you say that, surpassing the fluff. Not that there's anything wrong with the fluff. And I think, Paula, you mentioned it's great to have flowers and candy. And, you know, I think we're not saying don't do those things, but we're saying it has to be a lot deeper than that. Now, I also think that there are some husbands, especially, that might really blow it today and not get something special. This is, you can't like now quote us and say, well, no, I listened to Marriage Beyond the Vows and they were saying this is all fluff, you know, we're just going to focus on the real deal. It's not a substitute, but we got to get deeper, because marriage, you know, we have two extremes, right? We either sell marriage as this amazing, you know, kind of happily ever after relationship, or, oh my goodness, it's so hard, this is so tough. And I think a lot of times it's really the best of both worlds, right? You sometimes have just the bliss in a relationship, and then sometimes you will have that conflict and the struggle and the challenges, but all together, you know, love just keeps going. You know, it helps us to realize that is a commitment. You guys have been married almost as, you know, almost about the same time as my wife and I, and that what we've realized is, you know, the first year, you know, more, you know, you might have some bumps, but everything is so new. It's like the honeymoon. And then you pretty much had kids like around the same time. A couple years later, after our marriage, after the honeymoon, we started having children. It changes everything.
Yep. Yes.
It changes everything. So, Paula, from where you sit as a clinical therapist and counselor, what do you think are the greatest challenges that folks face when having a hard time in their relationship? What are some of those challenges that they face?
I think what I see in my practice a lot is just that there's a mismatch of expectations, and no one ever, or they just maybe never just taken the time to kind of like list out what those expectations are. So what generally happens is that you're expecting, you know, your husband to do, you know, A, B, and C, and the husband is expecting the wife to do A, B, and C, but no one has ever communicated that. And so it really just leads down a slippery slope. And, you know, then that's when they come and see me. And then we start out, you know, just talking about, you know, so what are your expectations? And they kind of look at each other like, huh? Like, we've never discussed that.
But so they're there, right? People have expectations.
Yes.
So explain that again. When you say mixed match expectations, are you saying that one has higher expectations or just different expectations than the other?
They just have, they have different expectations, but they've just never been communicated. Like, you know, this may be a far off example, but maybe the wife may want the husband to open the door every time she comes out, but of the car, but she's never communicated that to him. She's just assuming a lot of assumptions, well, you know, that he would do that.
But that's an easy one, right? She just needs to stand by the door and not walk through it until he opens it, you know. I think.
Right.
But, you know what, Paula and Dijon, we got to take a brief break. We don't want you to go anywhere. And, of course, everyone else, don't you dare touch that dial. We do want you to call in 855-454-5905. We'll be back in a moment. We're discussing true love here on Marriage Beyond the Vows.
Beyond the Vows.
Call 855-454-5905 and get in on the conversation. We're praise.
Welcome back. Welcome back. You're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows here on Praise, your inspiration station. We don't want you to go anywhere. We're having a great, great discussion here. Of course, we have a special guest with us today. We got Dijon and Paula Anderson. Welcome back.
Thank you so much.
Absolutely. And Paula is a clinical counselor. She's been doing this for over 15 years. Dijon is an educator. And, of course, they're here to educate us on our marriages and relationships. So we're going to have an amazing time. We've really already introduced them. And our theme scripture of the day comes from 1 Corinthians 13, which is where the Bible really breaks out love. And nowhere does it say that love is an emotion. It's really more of a commitment and things that you do. Now, let me ask you, Paula, a quick question. And before I do that, let me go ahead and give out the number so that our friends and our listening audience can go ahead and give us a call. 855-454-5905. We want you in on the conversation. So, Paula, I have a question about love. You know, I know a lot of people believe that, especially at first, you know, love is this deep feeling. And you know, I think Dijon mentioned the fluff and all these, you know, emotions. But what do you tell someone who walks into your office and they say, I feel like I'm out of love. I'm not in love with my spouse anymore. What do you say?
Good question. I would just first want to know like the history and like why that person has come to that thought or that feeling as to why they're out of love.
Mm-hmm.
And just to really examine that, because like you said, it's not just a feeling. It's really an action verb, you know, in my opinion. And I would just want to know, like, what changed and, you know, what are they doing now that has brought them to this point, and really kind of even educate them on that. Love is just not only this feeling. It's really an action, and how, you know, you're going to have to, you know, not have to, but just trying to help them to figure out how to work through whatever differences they're experiencing. Because it sounds like, when somebody says that to me, it sounds like as my husband would say, the fluff or the fizzle or the spark has gone. And so now they're like, what do I do with this?
And that's good. And I think, you know, when folks come in for help, that's usually a good sign, because at least they're admitting they need help. They want help. If they didn't want it, they would not be there, right? So
exactly.
I think that's a start. But they're saying, okay, I'm not in love. So let's just say, for example, it's the wife. And she says, listen, my husband, he's not romantic. I feel like we're roommates. I tell him what I need. He's not meeting my needs. I just want to spend time with him. He's always busy. You know, and we've been doing this for years. I'm just tired. I don't feel like I love him anymore. I don't know what else to do.
Mm-hmm. At that point, I would say bring your husband in.
Bring him. Okay. And he's like, he doesn't want to come in. The husband does not want to come in.
Okay, then we can do conference call. But either way.
I like it. You always have a solution.
Yeah, exactly. He may not want to come in physically.
He's like, call him right now. Call him.
Exactly.
All right.
Yeah, but and we do get that, you know, all jokes aside, we do get that. And at that point, you know, if they're willing, my thing is that they both have to be willing.
Absolutely.
They have to be, because if she's willing and he's not, then that's a different conversation. You know what I mean? So if they're both willing, then I feel like that's salvageable and we can work through it. And, you know, I would give her tools and strategies that she can use in her marriage. And, you know, hopefully he would want to come in after seeing her making some changes, because it does take two people in the relationship. So it could be things that she's not doing either, and we would also work on that. And then, you know, hopefully by him seeing some changes in her, it may, you know, may want him to come in as well, and then they can work on it together.
Absolutely, absolutely. So if you're just tuning in, you're listening to Marriage Beyond the Vows. I am your host, Marcos Mercado. We're talking about true love, and with us right now is Dijon and Paula Anderson, calling from the D.C., Washington, D.C. area, and they have much to say and really share with us about true love. And so we want to know what you have to say. You know, do you have true love? Do you understand true love? Are you searching for true love? We want to hear from you, whether it's your testimony, your question, your comment. Go ahead and give us a call at 855-454-5905. You know, Paula and Dijon, you know, usually this is the time where, you know, folks are kind of listening in, and in a moment they'll just start calling and calling. And, you know, sometimes right. It's even hard to get to everyone. But I do want to encourage all our listeners to go ahead and call in, because we don't have you for the entire show. You're going to be here with a few minutes with us. Sounds like you're getting the calls there. A few minutes that you have with us. And Paula, you know, you have a lot of experience with helping couples. And I think the both of you are just a great example as well on what it means to have true love. I know I've had the honor and privilege of being able to work with you guys together. And I know even in next week, we have a conference over in the Virginia area that we're doing together. You know, anybody's interested in that, we could always follow us. Go to our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/beyondthevows. And you'll hear all about that good stuff. But let's go back to our conversation about true love. After 17 years, I'm sure you figured out, you know, that love is definitely a lot more than just a fuzzy feeling or fluff, like you would say.
Right. You know, it's interesting you say it, because I'm going to put ourselves out there for a second. You know, we've been married for 17 years, but it was never one of those, oh my gosh, this is love at first sight.
Okay.
It was, oh well, how you doing? And but as we kept building the relationship, as we kept talking on the phone, as we would go out on dates, it was like one of those things where God was just revealing, like, this is the one.
So you kind of had a small interest, but you weren't thinking, okay, this is the person of my dreams. I'm going to spend the rest of my life with them. But as you got to know them, or in your case, Dijon, as you got to know Paula, you're like, this is it.
This is it. At first, that was not the case. She was not in my radar.
Wow. What? Paula is like, what's going on? He was on my radar.
She's a bad girl.
Maybe your radar was messed up, broken or something. Who knows?
Exactly, Marco.
Dysfunctional radar. But you know what? I think usually, from where I sit, this is the same thing with my wife and I. It tends to be that those that really build a solid foundation and became friends first have a lasting love, as opposed to those who seem to have love at first sight. I'm not saying it can't work, but sometimes you have these expectations. I love what Paula said about that. Now, I want to take just a brief change gears for a moment. We do have Kathleen calling from the Philadelphia area. She's on line one, and she has a testimony to share with us.
Good morning.
Good morning. Welcome to Marriage Beyond the Vows. We're talking about true love. And Kathleen, what do you have to share with us?
I've been married... it'll be 36 years in March.
Congratulations. You sound so young on the phone.
Thank you so
much.
Well,
you got married as a preteen?
No. But my children are 35 and 32.
Okay.
And I wanted to say, I was listening to the couple as well as yourself, and I wanted to actually encourage folks today, because I can honestly say when I was not saved when I first got married. I didn't know the Lord.
Okay.
But I can honestly say that the Lord took us this far. Many times, you know, I've told people I don't have the testimony of the romance and the flowers and this, you know, those type things. But I can tell you that putting my trust in the Lord and us, the two of us, making a vow that we were going to stay together and then coming to know the Lord after we were married made a huge difference in our life. I'm not saying that it has always been perfect. I'm not saying that there were times I didn't want to go, but I was in love with the Lord, and then I learned that the love of my husband, loving him, was beyond, you know, the flowers and the romance. And it's a kind of love that I know only God could have given me and given him.
Now, Kathleen, I want to say thank you so much for calling in and sharing that. Now, I do hear something in your voice, and it might just be me. You can correct me there. But, you know, I think we do have, I tend to see there a lot of times we're very extreme. You know, we have those that are hurting. If they'll call in a moment and they'll say, you know, help us. I think we're done. We don't know what else to do. Mm-hmm. Then you have some like yourself who persevered. It's been good, bad, you know, challenging, but they've persevered. But I do hear like, what can couples or what will you prefer or appreciate even after 36 years? Maybe not the flowers, maybe not the mm-hmm. chocolate, but what else can your husband and even you do for your marriage to help it to be even greater?
I think just trying to understand one another, we've learned that I'm comfortable, and actually I'm a little nervous calling, I'm shaking.
Oh, you sound awesome, you're doing great.
But we've learned to just understand one another. I don't have any great expectations. I've learned, I remember years ago when I used to be so frustrated, I really heard the Lord told me, I heard him say to me that he is not your child, he's mine.
Mm. Mm.
And I had to back up and just work on me. My husband is a very faithful and loyal individual. I have never had, it's never been no drama.
Amen.
And he is, he's from Trinidad, and I had to learn his it's different.
Yeah, you know, cultural
you know,
differences are true.
And his best friend told me many years ago when my children were, when they were little, he's a difficult man.
Mm.
And, but I made up my mind I wasn't leaving. I wasn't going. I'm not saying I didn't want to early in my marriage, but I'm telling you, I'm so glad I stayed.
Amen. Amen.
You know, and you know, understanding that I may not, I have learned that you don't have to understand everything about a person to love them. You're not going to understand everything. We don't understand everything about our Lord, but we love him.
Absolutely, absolutely.
So,
I mean,
it doesn't, and I love my husband. I do. I enjoy, with the two of us in the house now, we have an empty nest, but it's wonderful because I'm so at peace, and God has given us peace. He's given us joy. I mean, I'm going to tell you, I really do wish we had went to counseling when we first got married, but he refused to go. He just would not do it. So, I mean, you know, and then someone said, well, sometimes Caribbean men, they're, you know, like that. Well, I guess so. but I can honestly say I love my husband. And, and it's not, you know, like I said, it's not perfect, you know, but it has been the best. God knew what I needed.
Amen, amen. Now, Paul, I have a quick question for you while we still have Kathleen on the line. You know, does that sound like true love to you?
It does. It does. It sounds like they, you know, have gone through some things, but they've been able to, as we talked about before, that commitment, they've been able to solidify that commitment in their marriage. And no matter what, although they may have had differences, they've been able to stay true to that commitment and also stay true to God. I did hear her talk about their relationship with God and
absolutely.
And also making a decision not to leave. And so I think, Kathleen, kudos to you just for mm-hmm. making that commitment to your husband and to God.
Amen. And Kathleen, I want to say thank you again. If you want, you can go ahead and give a shout out and tell your husband you love him.
Hey, Tony, I know you're working today, but this is your pudding. I love you.
Pudding. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Kathleen. You have a blessed day and you enjoy the rest of this weekend.
And thank you so much to both of you, all three of you. Have a wonderful day and congratulations on your marriages as well.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Bye-bye.
Have a blessed day. All right. That's good. You know, Paula and Dijon, you know, so we are talking about true love, and we, of course, want to hear from more of our listening audience at 855-454-5905. You know, after Kathleen shared, I was like, listen, is that true love? So something else we can do is we can get our couples to call in and say, hey, you know, we want to kind of get an assessment. Are we doing okay in this area of love? And how can we strengthen it? How can we do better? And I think sometimes even on the air, we end up getting just one spouse, so we don't get the other side of the story. But it's good for people to say, hey, listen, how can I grow? How can I do a better job in loving my spouse when they're unlovable? because that happens as well. So what do you think, Paula, and both Dijon and Paula, what our caller Kathleen just shared about in terms of 36 years, you know, even a point where he didn't want counseling. Right. I think some couples would have given up. You know, she said it in a nice way. She's like, you know, we're not perfect. To me, that just translates as we've had some very imperfect times. And but what do you say? I mean, obviously, she's persevered. Not everybody has that tenacity, that conviction to say, hey, we're going to persevere. And before we go into our next call, I just want to kind of hear from you. What do you say to someone that's just wondering, you know, is it worth hanging in there?
Man, I truly believe that it is worth it. First thing, if God had put you together, mm-hmm. then it's worth going through the marriage. It's worth going through the love. It's worth going through the spats. It's worth going through the friendships. It's worth going through it all.
So you're saying it's worth it. But you made that point about God putting you together. How about couples who weren't Christians or didn't obey God and feel like they put themselves together, not God?
Right. I mean, in my thought, and even kind of looking through the scriptures, I think when, let's just say, yes, you were not in the faith, you were not Christians, but you still made a commitment to each other.
Mm-hmm.
That word is so strong,
sure,
that it forces you or compels you to try to work this thing out. When Kathleen had called in, the word that she kept saying that struck out to me was that she had to learn.
Yes.
She has to learn. She kept saying, I had to learn, and we learn. And so in marriage, from my viewpoint, it's a consistent learning about your spouse. It's a consistent learning about what they like, what he or she likes, as well as learning about you. You can't get past that. So I think when you don't come in as Christians,
yeah.
And, you know, God can still work through that.
Absolutely. And, you know, I think what you're, you know, not to say that, like, you weren't clear, but I think as I hear you speak, you talk about that commitment and that learning, I think it's that vow that we made, right?
Right.
That the word vow is found, you know, 77 times in at least one translation, right, the New International Version. And I think God takes vows very seriously. Whether you're a Christian or not, you've made a vow. That's what marriage is. Let's go ahead and continue on with our callers. We have several callers here patiently waiting on the line. We're going to go to Tina, who's calling in from the Pennsylvania area, and she actually has a question for us. What do you do when true love has gone? Tina, good morning. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. I'm here with Paula and Dijon Anderson, and we're having a great conversation about true love. And I believe you posted this question for us. What do you do when true love is gone?
Yes. I have been married it'll be 13 years in August. We have three wonderful, beautiful children. We've been through a lot, like, within our marriage. But lately, it seems like every time I turn around, he tells me he's unhappy. I try to feel like, and he tells me what it is that makes him unhappy. When I think that I'm fixing it, it doesn't seem like it's something else. And then when I look at him, I feel like, okay, he loves me because I look at him and I see that he loves me because I am the mother of his children. But the love for me as his wife is gone.
Okay, so you're saying like the flame is there, but it's very,
very, very, very, very.
Yeah,
very,
it's flickering, right? It's like, all right, he loves me more because he has to. I'm his wife. I'm the mother of his child. But you don't feel like he walks into a room and sees you and it's like, wow, I want to be with you. I miss you. I'm away from the house. I can't wait to come back.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay. Paula or Dijon, you guys want to comment on this?
Yes. Good morning.
Good morning.
I could barely hear you, but I think in terms of what you're going through is that unfortunately, it's not uncommon. You know, we do see that again. Like I said, I do couples counseling. And I think, you know, sometimes it may take the individual, although, like, we do couples, I oftentimes will say to a couple, well, let's do a few individual sessions because there may not be you. It may be some of it may be you, but it really may not just be you. It may be something that may be going on with him. And as I'm saying, everyone that comes to counseling has a mental health issue. That's really not true. So I want to take that stigma out of anybody's mind. But he may just be going through, you know, just different stages in his life, developmental stages. Maybe things are going wrong at the job. Maybe things are going, you know, it physically. There may be a number of things going on, and so it may be worth him just, you know, talking to a counselor and just kind of working out what the things that he may be feeling and just working that out. And you may be just being projected on you because you're right there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So,
and I have that husband, though, that is, I'm not going to counseling. I've suggested it numerous times, and it's just always flat out no. So then it discourages me from going because I feel like, you know, well, maybe I know there probably are things that I need to work on. But at the same time, a marriage is just, you know, is two people. And I can't, if I fix myself, but then I feel like things are still not changing, then I feel like, what do I do?
Well, Tina, let me interject here for a moment. I think sometimes that's the mistake we make. And Paula and Dijon, I'm sure you guys could agree to this, that, you know, sometimes we want to fix the other person because we feel like if they change, then we'll change and, right. and the marriage will be better. And I think we really cannot change other people. You know, I heard a very interesting quote this week. I read it, actually, and it said, you know, when I was younger, I felt like I can change the world. Now that I'm older and wiser, I realize I need to change me first. And,
right.
And I think that, you know, we really need to focus on that. Now, don't get me wrong. It really does work when both husband and wife want help and they both go to counseling and they both work on it. But you got to sometimes start somewhere. And it reminds me of this scripture in Revelation chapter 2. You know, here we know, of course, Jesus is speaking directly to these churches in the book of Revelations. And what you share with me, I know we're not talking about the same love. This is the love for God. But that's the first love. But I believe the second love we should have is for each other. But I love what it says here because it reminds me, Tina, how you shared about your husband. Like, he's a good man. He's there. He knows he's going to be there for you. And that's what Jesus says here to the church. He says, you've persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. It's like, all right, great. You're there. 13 years you've stuck by. And it says, yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your love first, your first love.
Right.
And I think that although it's commendable he's there, he's persevered 13 years, that spark needs to come back. Like, you still want to be first. You want to be the apple of his eye. I mean, I know it sounds sometimes even cheesy, right, when we say these things, but that's what we want. I mean, isn't that? I mean, that's why, you know, companies are able to capitalize so much on Valentine's Day because they know what people want. They want to feel special. They, you know, even we might say, you know, those roses are expensive or that chocolate is overrated. But at the end of the day, you know, if your spouse doesn't do something special, you miss it. You're like, well, what happened? I didn't mean don't do anything. And so I think that it's so important to go back to that first love and that spark. What do you think, Tina?
No, I totally agree with what everything that you're saying. And, you know, like I said, like he's told, like I work on the things that he tells me that I'm lacking for him. But it doesn't always seem like it's good enough, or he'll say, well, I'm only doing it for the moment. So I know that some of it is me. I'm never going to put all the blame, you know, on him. But I'm just feel like right now I'm fighting to get love back that may not be there anymore, you know, and the constant saying I'm leaving or I can't deal with this anymore. That's when I get discouraged and I'm like, well, why should I keep trying if you're going to just constantly tell me you're
absolutely
going to do this
anyway? And Paula, what do you think? I think in this case, I would recommend that Tina still go, even if her husband's not willing, to go get help for herself so she can be the best Christian wife that God has called her to be.
I absolutely agree with you, Marcos. I think, you know, I do hear that too, Tina, where people say, well, if my husband doesn't want to go, then I shouldn't go. But I think really at the end of the day, you want to be your best self. You know? And this situation can be very stressful. It could leave you feeling isolated and emotionally drained and, you know, all of the above. But you still want to be your best self for God. And you want to be able to have the tools and the coping skills that you need to kind of to deal with this situation that may not be optimal.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
All right.
So
absolutely.
I would still go and you need a place where you can vent to someone that's mm-hmm. objective, not to your girlfriend that's going to be like, well, girl, you should do, you know.
Do you and forget everyone else. You know, you don't want that. All right.
Right.
Well, Tina, I want to say thank you so much for calling. Look, if there's anything we can do, I hope to see you at the Be Beautiful Expo. I think it's going to be an amazing opportunity for you to really, you know, kind of enrich and empower yourself and hopefully, you know, bring your husband along because we are going to have man caves. We're going to have, you know, a panel discussion of Marriage Beyond the Vows. So that's the Be Beautiful Expo coming up in Philadelphia on March the 14th at the Pennsylvania Convention Center. Of course, if you want more information, go to our website, praisephilly.com.
Thank you so much. You all have a blessed day.
You too, Tina. God bless.
You too.
All right. We still have a few more minutes left here together with Paula and Dijon. Now we're going to Reverend Mack. Reverend Mack is a frequent caller. He loves to call in and just really encourage us. So, Reverend Mack, welcome to the show.
Good morning, Mark. Good morning, Marcus. I thank God for you and your staff. Thank God for this true love, man. This is a powerful topic, true love. What thing about true love, weather the storm, my brother.
All right. Well, great, great. Now, Paula and Dijon, you hear me? Because I'm getting a little bit of feedback there. It might be Rev Max feedback. Larry, can you just turn him down for a minute, see if that's him? Paula and Dijon, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, oh, you hear me. Okay, one second. Paula and Dijon, are you there?
Yeah, we're here.
Okay, I was hearing you kind of low. And you know what, Reverend Mack, if you need to call us back, please call us back. It seems like we have a bad connection or... Okay, all right, we'll hold one second there.
Yeah.
There you go.
All right,
yeah, that's better. I think it was just a little loud we were getting feedback. So you're saying we're talking about true love, and Paula and Dijon Anderson are on the line from the Washington, D.C. area. All right. Can you hear Reverend Mack?
Yes, sir. I'm here. Yeah.
All right. Excellent. Excellent. So, Reverend Mack, do you want to just give a word of wisdom to our couples who are listening out there who are searching for true love?
Yes, I will. True love, you can't be selfish with true love. And true love is not just on Valentine's Day.
Mm.
True love endure hardness. And not only that, true love lasts forever because the Lord God said, who's God put together that no man put asunder.
Asunder, that's right, that's right.
And if you got true love, Marcus, if you got true love, you will go through hard trials and tribulations and you'll understand your mate. You won't be selfish with your mate. You'll be given. You're a given person.
That's right. You know, with true love, you can lose your hair, you can gain some pounds, and the love is still there. So, Reverend Mack, we thank you so much, as always, for calling in and, of course, of listening all the time.
And we're hoping to be at that
Beautiful Expo
March, but we're still trying to get our tickets. Me and the wife hope to be there because it's going to be a blessing to the body.
Oh, man, let me tell you, it's the tickets right now, we sold out of all the VIP tickets, so you can still just get the regular tickets, which will get you into everything we have, all the concerts, all the workshops. Right. Reverend Mack, you know we got to see you there, you and your baby doll, okay?
And we're going to try to make it, brother. You know we will.
I know you will. I know you will. Well, Reverend Mack, thank you so much. We appreciate you calling in.
All right, and God bless you.
God bless you, too. Mm-hmm. You know, Paula and Dijon, I don't know how much more time you have because we do have another caller before our next break. Do you have time?
Let's definitely talk.
All right, let's do it. All right, so let's bring in Ernest calling in from the Pennsylvania area as well. He wants to share his testimony. Good morning, Ernest. You're live on the air with Praise.
Good morning. How are you?
Oh, we're doing great. Great. You mentioned to our producer that you want to share your testimony. So if you can be brief, we have some other callers, and we also going to have to take a brief break in just a moment.
All right. My name is Ernest, calling from Pennsylvania. I've been in a relationship for 9 years, going to 10 years.
Okay.
July 26, making sure I have 10 years together. The girl I'm dating, she's in Africa. I'm in America.
Oh, she's home.
Yeah, she's back home in my country.
Now, is she there for good or she's just visiting?
No, I was there with her and I came on the side.
I got you. So you came to the States. Are you hoping for her to come this way as well?
Yeah.
Okay. So what is the testimony you want to share?
Yes, I want to relate this to the couples and those who are searching for true love.
Okay.
Just what the Reverend just said, you don't have to be selfish.
Yes.
For me, I've been in a relationship. I know been selfish to her. I've been sweet and kind to her.
Okay.
I've been in a relationship for 9 years, going to 10 years.
Okay.
Never have any formal thing together. Excuse for my word, possession calls together. But I would like this to her, to the women and the men out there. If you're in the things of God, if you find a woman that you do love and you truly love her, may you and the woman may sit down together.
Okay, so if someone that you believe God brought you to your life, you want to sit with them together, okay.
Yes, it's God for you and her to be together.
Amen, amen. So,
then you got to sit down to her, tell her, oh, this is what I'm doing. I'm in the things of God. We cannot have anything together. We got to pray together. Sometimes I come to the house, we pray together.
Amen.
And dismiss.
All right.
And that will be a greater thing. God will begin to lead you guys into the right path, into the right thing, that the world may be, people may take an example from you guys.
Absolutely. Well, I love that, Ernest. I really do appreciate the conviction and the passion you share. And you said something, if God put you together, what I'm getting here is saying, you sit down, you make it work. God's blessed you. Now you sit down and you figure out how you're going to make this happen. And it might take prayers. Who knows? It might even take tears. Does that sound about right? I think Dijon and Paula, did you guys hear the same thing?
I heard a bit of them, but I think, you know, kind of piggybacking off of what are you saying is that, yeah, you've got to, when God brings you together, you've got to make it work. And I'm reminded of this. I'm reminded of this scripture in Ephesians chapter 4, and it's in verse 2, and it says, "Be completely humble and gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love." And then it goes on and say, "Make every effort." And those three words are so key in a marriage, because kind of like what everyone's been talking about today is that, yes, there will be that love high and there's going to be that love low. There's going to be that, you know, that bliss. And then it's going to be like, I don't even want to see you.
But, that's true.
You know, but the Bible is very clear when it says for us to make every effort to, you know, keep the bond of peace. And so in a marriage, it is the same thing. We've got to do what we've got to do to make it work. And I think he made a great point right there.
Oh, yeah. I think Ernest is sharing, you know, obviously he misses his wife. He says she's back home. She's trying to come over. But I think that, Dijon, you shared what I believe is a secret weapon. And when I say a secret weapon, you know, sometimes we think it's easy, but man, using that secret weapon is hard, because I even get with couples now that they want to deal with the issue at hand, but the issue is way deeper than what they think they're dealing with. They think they're fighting over, you know, whether they left the toilet seat up or down, or, you know, whether this bill got paid or not, or, you know, when you said this or didn't do that or whatever. And really, I think Ephesians 4 does kind of cover it all. It's like, here's the key. Be completely humble and gentle. It's like when we're having conflict, we don't want to be humble. We definitely don't want to be gentle. We don't want to be patient. We don't want to bear. And then what you said, I think is so key, is that you got to make every effort. So are you willing to do whatever it takes? But no. I want you to fix my wife, or my husband doesn't see it my way. It's like, are you willing to just be completely humble? Meaning that, are you willing to lose this fight to win the war?
Right.
To win your marriage. And I love that. Thank you, you know, so much. We're going to have a moment probably to just at least bring in this caller, because we're going to take another break in a moment. But I want to bring in Jackie, also from the Philadelphia area. She's been having problems, she believes, since day one in her marriage and needs some help. Good morning, Jackie. You're live on the air with Praise.
Hey, how you doing this morning?
Jackie, we're doing great. So let me just mention this really quickly. We literally have about a minute and a half, so we might just have to put you on hold after you share and come back with the answer after our break, okay?
Okay.
So what is the problem you've been having in your marriage?
Okay, it's like, I think I'm too dominant for my marriage, and I work outside a lot, and my husband, when I get off from work, he want me to come straight home, even though I have two riders. He want me to come straight home from work. If I'm not home from work, like, in 10 minutes, because I can walk to work,
okay,
he's calling me, asking me where I'm at, where I'm going. I can't even get off the porch, move the car around the block. I have to tell him everywhere I go. And like I said, I work construction. Oh, yeah, this is the thing. I went to Vegas this October.
Okay.
Me and a bunch of girls. He called everybody in the world to let them know that I was going to Vegas. But he went to Virginia 3 times this year, and I didn't complain. I didn't call nobody or nothing. He went with his family. I didn't go.
Okay. So Jackie, but what's the problem? Is it that he's too controlling? Is it, I mean, what is it?
I don't know. I think he's mostly insecure because of his past relationship. I try to be honest. I try to be true to him. I'm not cheating on him or nothing. You know what I mean?
How long you been married?
We only been married we're going on 3 years.
All right, 3 years. Paula, what do you think? I mean, it sounds like, and I'm hearing a little bit of conflicting statements here. Oh, we got to take a brief break. All right, so Paula, hold on. And, of course, Jackie, hold on. And we'll be right back after the break. So, Jackie, don't go anywhere. Anyone else, don't you dare touch that dial. The number to reach us, 855-454-5905. We'll be right back after this.